Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the 45th video for the New Testament Survey Course. In this section, we'll begin looking at the book of Revelation. You might recall that the New Testament books are categorized into four divisions, and the fourth division contains only the book of Revelation, because Revelation is a unique book in a category of its own. Therefore, we're going to look at Revelation in two sections, this one and the next. In this section, we'll look at the nature and historical background of Revelation, including some instructions on how to read it well, kind of like an introduction to the fourth category of New Testament books. And in the next section, we'll look specifically at the organization, content, and themes of this book. So now, let's look at the historical background of the book of Revelation. The author identified himself by name as John, and this is most likely John, the son of Zebedee, one of the 12, who also wrote the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John, though some scholars suggest that this was a different person who was also named John. This book was written from an island called Patmos, where John was in exile for his faith and testimony. In other words, John had been sent away to this island by the Roman Empire as punishment for being a Christian leader. And the recipients of Revelation were seven churches in seven different towns in Western Asia Minor, around the area of Ephesus. This is the area where John was an overseer near the end of his life, according to tradition, like we saw when we looked at the epistles of John. And the date when Revelation was written was during a time of persecution. The best tradition about the date comes from Irenaeus, who said that John wrote near the end of the reign of Domitian. And that would put it at the traditional date, around 95 AD. And that means that Revelation is most likely the last book of the Bible to be written. Now, let me introduce some of the characteristics of Revelation. First, the name of this book, technically, is the Revelation of Jesus Christ, but this is usually shortened to just Revelation. And it's also called the Apocalypse. Apocalypse and Revelation both mean the same thing. They just come from different languages. They both refer to revealing something that was previously hidden. I think of it like pulling back a curtain to see what is on the other side. Just like if you went to the window and opened the curtain, you could then see the street or whatever's outside the window. The street was there before you pulled back the curtain, but now you can see it. In the same way, the book of Revelation is a pulling back of the curtain, as it were, to let the readers see spiritual realities that already existed and acted, but now we are made aware of their existence and activity, which we may not have known before. In other words, Revelation, in a sense, shows how the eternal spiritual realm behind the scenes interacts with the physical historical realm in which we live in everyday life. We get a peek behind the scenes to see what God is doing in all of history. Now, let's briefly talk about the genre of Revelation. That is, the type of literature which it is. Revelation is actually a combination of three genres. First, it has characteristics of an epistle. It's written to various churches with an occasion and purpose. And it actually contains a section of seven mini-epistles addressed to the seven individual churches. Second, Revelation has characteristics of biblical prophecy, and it refers to itself as this book of prophecy. So, it's similar to Old Testament prophets in that it is a message from God addressed to a specific historical situation. And thirdly, Revelation has characteristics of a genre called apocalyptic. Now, this was a common type of literature at that time, but it's foreign to us. This type of literature is usually expressed in the form of visions from a supernatural messenger, with stylistic and sometimes fantastic symbolic imagery. Apocalyptic was somewhat like a modern political cartoon in that it talked about current events using symbols and pictures, like American political cartoons use the symbols of an elephant and a donkey to represent different political parties. And apocalyptic was usually written to encourage the readers during tough times, to see their situation from a different perspective in order to find hope. In a bit, we'll come back to how to read Revelation well, taking these characteristics and genres into account. But now I want to examine the occasion for the writing of Revelation. Revelation was written because of real and potential suffering and persecution of Christians. We know from this book that at least one person from among John's readers had already been martyred for their faith. And there's a lot of evidence from history that Christians were hated and persecuted at that time. And there's also some evidence that the Roman Emperor Domitian was systematically persecuting Christians throughout the empire at that time, but we can't be 100% sure. And John the author was exiled and imprisoned for his faith and for his ministry. Not only that, but John saw that it was inevitable that the church and the Roman Empire would be in growing conflict over people's greatest loyalty, and so greater persecution was coming. Earlier emperors had claimed themselves to be gods, but Domitian was the first to make it a test of loyalty that his subjects must address him as Lord and God. He started the official policy that everyone must offer a sacrifice to the emperor as a god. In other words, he instituted emperor worship as an official requirement for life in the Roman Empire. And it doesn't take a genius to see that this put Christians in a difficult situation. Either compromise your devotion to God by engaging in idolatry, or suffer persecution as a traitor to Rome. In addition, much of Roman society was organized around pagan religion. One example, there were trade guilds, which held the key to economic opportunity for many people. If you wanted to be part of a particular trade, you had to join the guild and participate in the pagan worship ceremonies that were part of their activities. Back to the same difficult choice, compromise your Christianity or risk your livelihood. And John saw that this kind of tension and persecution was just the beginning, and it would soon get a lot worse. Historically, we know that within 20 to 30 years of Revelation, the Roman Empire officially persecuted and killed Christians just for being Christians, and this continued off and on for hundreds of years. But even worse than that, John saw that some Christians and churches were not doing very well, and therefore they were not prepared for the coming challenges. Many were comfortable and complacent and didn't see the crisis coming. They needed a wake-up call so that they would see the danger they were in. Many Christians were compromised in their own lives by sin, and some churches were infected with false teaching and compromise, and worse. The two greatest dangers that we saw in earlier sections, persecution from the outside and false teaching on the inside, were taking their toll on the church in John's time. And Revelation made clear that it wasn't just that those outside the church would be punished. It was also that some who claimed to be part of the church were not completely faithful to the Lord of the church, and therefore also risked punishment. Even though they claimed to worship the Lord, their loyalties and character and actions were closer to the ungodly society around them, and their loyalties and character and actions. And so, the church and individual Christians needed to examine themselves to check their own faithfulness and loyalty and character. Were they, in fact, being faithful to the Lord, being completely faithful to the Lord? And were they prepared for the challenges ahead? That was the situation when John wrote Revelation. And now let's talk about the purpose of Revelation. There are a few statements about its purpose in the book itself. In the very first verse, it says that God gave this revelation to show his servants what must soon take place. And in verse 11 of the first chapter, John was told to write down what he saw and send it to the seven churches. So in one sense, John's purpose in writing Revelation was to be obedient to that command and record the content of his visions for the churches so that they would know what would soon take place. But that brings up the obvious question. Why? Why did they need to know the content of this revelation? And what difference would it make when they heard it? Now, the answers to these questions will give us the further purpose that this book served for the churches to whom it was written. But before we get into that, I need to say something negative about the purpose of Revelation. That is, what the purpose of Revelation is not. The purpose of Revelation is not fortune-telling the future. The purpose is not to satisfy the curiosity of those who want to know the times and seasons and manners in which the world will end. The purpose is not to draw a roadmap for the end times so that we can match it up with the evening news. Revelation is not a puzzle to be figured out or a mystery to be solved. That's simply not what Jesus was trying to accomplish in revealing these things. And so, to use Revelation primarily for that purpose is to misunderstand and misapply this book. But now, let's look positively at the primary purpose this book was intended to accomplish in the churches to whom John was writing, and by extension, the purpose it should fulfill in our own lives. First, it was to warn the church. It warned the church that bad times are coming, it will get worse before it gets better, the church will go through hard times. However, note carefully in Revelation that tribulation is not the same as wrath. Difficulties and persecution are not the same as punishment from God. The church will not experience the wrath of God, but the church should expect tribulation and trouble in this world. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, that the world would hate the disciples and that they would have trouble in the world. And remember what the disciples said to the churches in Acts, that we must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. A Chinese pastor was once asked if he thought the church would go through tribulation. And he answered, only an American would even ask that question. Because throughout history and around the world, the church has consistently encountered persecution and difficulties. And the relatively peaceful experience of the church in North America and Europe over the past few centuries, that's the exception to the rule. The church should be realistic to expect hard times for being faithful to Christ in an unfaithful world. But Revelation is also clear that it is the enemies of God and the persecutors of His church who are the ones who will suffer wrath. And that will be far worse than any difficulty that the church experiences. Revelation also warned the church against compromise and sin, which would open them up to God's punishment. For instance, in chapter 18, verse 4, God warns His people to come out from Babylon so as not to share in its punishment. God's church absolutely must not participate in the crimes of God's enemies, because if people join in Babylon's adultery, they will join in Babylon's punishment. And Revelation warned the church not to give up. God's people are to stand firm till the end, no matter the cost, because it will be worth it, both in terms of the punishment avoided, but especially in terms of the reward gained. Yes, the bad times will be bad, and they may last for some time, but they will come to an end, and the church must faithfully persevere until that time. And that leads to the second main facet of the purpose of Revelation, which was to encourage the church. Revelation encouraged them to faithfulness and holiness. It's encouragement to not compromise with the strong temptations of the ungodly society. It's encouragement to overcome, to be triumphant, even through death, because it proclaims God will not abandon you. God will help you endure, to protect you through it. God will pay back those who persecute you. God will reward you beyond your wildest imagination, and God will soon give you rest from all your troubles. This part of the purpose is clearly seen in the letters to the seven churches. They contain a repeated phrase, which is a promise, to the one who overcomes, I will give such and such. And they also contain a repeated phrase, which is a challenge, let the one who has ears hear what the Spirit says. Part of the purpose of Revelation is to encourage the church to hear obey, and thereby to overcome. And part of the purpose is to strengthen the church, to empower them to be able to obey and overcome. You might ask, how does it do this? How can this message strengthen people to be able to stand firm? Well, first, by giving an eternal perspective. That is, to enable people to see things as they really are. Remember that apocalypse means to peel back the curtains and give a peek behind the scenes. So Revelation shows God's cosmic purpose in all that was happening. It is not meaningless and random, but it is purposeful and significant, and it is going somewhere. This book shows that the present trouble the readers were experiencing did not take God by surprise, but it was just another episode of the cosmic struggle between right and wrong. The enemy is still trying to persecute the church, but will fail, as he always does. The conflict over emperor worship is just the age-old conflict between true worship and idolatry. All these earthly conflicts are just expressions of the cosmic conflict. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it any easier, but it gives us perspective and clarity of thought how to deal with it. And therefore, it gives hope. Because Revelation shows that the outcome of the struggle is never in doubt. God wins. Or to put it better, God has already won. He's just taking his time wrapping up some of the details. The Roman Empire is not in control. God is. The emperor is not on the throne. God is. The dragon is not all-powerful. God is. The death of Christians is not a victory for the enemy any more than the death of Christ was. The economic security of a trade guild is not the most important thing. God is. The personal security and comfort of fitting into society is not the most important thing. God is. And we constantly need reminded of these very things, even in our own day and age. God's side is always the right side of history, because history is his story. And any worldview that doesn't have God at the center is on the losing side, and already under judgment. So, Revelation invites us, it challenges us, to look at all of reality through a different perspective. That is, a God-centered, heavenly perspective. God is the most central, most basic, and controlling reality of everything else. Everything gets its life, meaning, purpose, explanation, and destiny from him and his eternal plan. Whenever you look at the immediate, temporal situation and it looks bad, which it sometimes truly is bad, look behind it to the eternal reality, which is good, because God is good. And that's why Christians need to look at the news and social media less, maybe a lot less. And we need to read the Bible more, because the Bible gives a more accurate picture of what is really going on. The future destiny belongs to God's people. It's just a matter of time. And the present reality also belongs to us. It's just a matter of perspective. Think about the audacity and the nerve of John. He was a seemingly insignificant man exiled in the middle of nowhere, being punished by Rome, which was at the height of its power and influence, and he boldly proclaimed and celebrated the fall of the Roman Empire, which they thought would never end. And he told Christ's seemingly insignificant church that they were the victors, while they were being punished and even killed. How silly that might have sounded at the time. But the Roman Empire is gone, and John's words are still with us. And Christ's church is still extending to the ends of the earth. Throughout history, many governments and other entities have tried to kill the church, but they all failed and fell, and the church is still here. Let that track record encourage us in our own struggles to overcome. Revelation is realistic about the possibility of suffering, but totally optimistic about the eventual outcome for God's people. So, Revelation empowers the readers by giving them a heavenly eschatological perspective that God is firmly in control of everything and that God wins, no matter what the temporary circumstances may appear. So, the primary purpose for the first readers is to warn, encourage, and strengthen them in the midst of difficult times by helping them to see the truth of who God is and what He is doing. And Revelation actually contains a blessing for those who hear and take it to heart. And all this relates to a secondary purpose of Revelation, and that is to show how the biblical story concludes. In other words, Revelation shows the resolution, fulfillment, and consummation of all human history, the final result of God's plan and work. Now, in earlier sections, we've talked about the already not yet tension, and how there are some things that are not yet accomplished or fully wrapped up. Well, Revelation describes the accomplishment of all these things. This is the end goal of God creating the world in the first place. This is where it is all leading to. And this is the result of all that God has been doing, at least since as far back as His calling of Abraham in Genesis. God has always been working to call and save a people from every tribe, people, nation, and language to be in a special blessed relationship with Himself for all eternity. God has always been working to overcome every enemy and hindrance to His lordship over His creation. God has always been working to vindicate and display His own goodness and glory and to demonstrate His justice and holiness by rightly punishing everything that works against His glorious rule. It is so important for us to know that the Bible ends with a clear demonstration that all God's people will literally live happily ever after. That every injustice will be righted, that every brokenness will be fixed, and every sadness will be turned to joy, and every tear will be wiped away. But all God's enemies will live unhappily ever after, because God wins. God rights every wrong. God brings to fulfillment all that He has planned and all that He has been doing through Jesus. As we've seen throughout the New Testament, we are now living in the already not yet tension, and we've all experienced the difficulty of this at times. But Revelation shows that we will not live in this tension forever. There will come a time when everything will be consummated. And Revelation tells us what it will be like, at least to the extent that such things can be described in human words. We know the conclusion of the story. We know where it is all headed. And so we can rightly hope and work toward this goal, knowing that our work and hope are not in vain. And hand in hand with that, a secondary purpose of the revelation of Jesus Christ is to reveal Jesus Christ. That is, to more clearly and completely proclaim who He is. Remember, much of the New Testament told the story of Jesus in His life on earth in servant humility, emptying Himself, and dying on behalf of His people. And all that is true, of course. But that is an incomplete picture of who Jesus really is. So, Revelation concentrates on the truth about Jesus that was mostly hidden during His earthly ministry, and we just got a glimpse of it at the Transfiguration and after the resurrection, that He is the risen, glorious Lord over all. His glory was partially hidden in the earlier New Testament, but in Revelation, it's on full display. The book of Revelation emphasizes that Jesus is the heavenly Son of Man from Daniel, who is equated with the Ancient of Days. He is the faithful witness, truly and accurately revealing all that God is and all that God is doing. He is the messianic ruler who will soon return with His heavenly army to cleanse creation from all evil and set up His perfect and just rule. He is the Lion, who is also the slain Lamb, who has purchased the souls of an innumerable multitude from every nation to serve Him. And Jesus is the first and last, the eternal one, who has always existed and who will rule forever, the source and goal of all creation. Revelation reveals who Jesus is. Remember, the people of Jesus' day were confused because they expected a warrior king, but they got a suffering servant. Well, Revelation now shows that he is, in fact, all of the above, including a heavenly warrior king, greater than they expected, and so much more. Jesus is not just meek and mild. He is also infinitely powerful, holy, and just. And all the need for final justice, for someone to decisively overcome evil. You know, the need that we inherently feel for the good side to win and the bad guys to lose, this is finally fully satisfied by the righteous judgment of Christ. The last book of the Bible reveals Jesus, and so makes sense of all of life and history by showing how it is all about him. That is the multifaceted purpose of Revelation. And all of this has just been the historical background of this book. Like I said, in the next section, we'll examine the organization, content, and themes. But first, in the rest of this section, I want to talk briefly about how to read Revelation well, based on its unique characteristics. We'll just scratch the surface of the most basic things in this section. And if you want to go in more depth on how to read Revelation, feel free to check out the section on Revelation in the basic Bible study course. But for now, let me point out a few things. First, remember that Revelation uses symbols and symbolic imagery to represent real historical and spiritual realities. And the fact is that most of these symbols come from the Old Testament. Revelation is full of Old Testament references, so the better you know the Old Testament, the better you'll be able to understand Revelation. And I recommend, when reading Revelation, that you pay attention to the cross references that are printed in the margin of many Bibles, because these tell you where else in the Bible similar language or similar ideas happen. And this could be very helpful for figuring out what John was pointing to when he used a particular symbol. But the most important clue for understanding the symbolism in Revelation is that John explains and interprets some of his symbols, even though sometimes he only comes back to explain or elaborate on them in a later chapter. Whenever John explained his symbol, use that as the starting point to understand everything else related to that symbol. And take the symbols and episodes as a whole. Understand the big picture message, and don't try to find significance in all the details, at least until you are sure that you understand the main message and point of any symbol or episode. So, understand the images and symbols as a whole, from the standpoint of their Old Testament background and any explanation that John the author gives of them. Second, notice the Revelation is carefully crafted. It's organized and patterned using numbers and sequences. For instance, there are a few series of sevens in Revelation, seven seals, seven bowls, etc. And these patterns and series develop and work together to bring the story to the next level or climax. And we'll examine this when we look at the organization of Revelation in the next section. And as I just mentioned, keep the big picture context in mind in order to understand the details. See the images and symbols and episodes as a whole and understand the point of the entire thing before trying to understand any of the details. Now, I admit that some of the details are sometimes obscure or difficult to understand, but I think the main idea of every episode, and especially the main point of Revelation as a whole, is clear. And see all the episodes in the context of the entire flow of Revelation, as the application of the victory won by Christ in the gospel, and bringing all of human history to its intended conclusion. Partly, this means making sure to understand Revelation in its original historical context of early Christians in the Roman Empire. For instance, If you think that a particular symbol you find in Revelation refers to a jet plane or a tank or a computer, you're almost certainly wrong, because that would have made no sense to the first readers. Keep in mind what this book would have meant to them as a safety check for your own understanding. Similarly, make sure you understand everything in its literary context. Part of that is what I've already mentioned, to see the symbols and episodes in the big picture of Revelation. And part of it is how John develops the message through the entire book, how it all comes to a climax. But it also means to notice whenever John brings up again something he mentioned earlier in the book, to develop, to explain, or to make some sort of connection. Revelation seems to circle back and pick up earlier themes and ideas somewhat regularly, and John intends you to notice this and understand it all as being related. And then, remember that Revelation contains many warnings and encouragements to be faithful. So, pay special attention to them whenever they occur, because they're usually the main point of an episode. Ask, in what ways are the readers commanded to be faithful? In other words, what are they commanded to do? What are they commanded to avoid? And what does that tell you about how you can remain faithful in your own situation? And what are the reasons that John gave for them to remain faithful? What are the rewards that are promised? And what are the punishments that are threatened? And how can you use these things to motivate yourself to stand strong no matter what? And then, notice the exalted view of God and Christ that we see in Revelation. Observe how Revelation describes His awesomeness, His care and complete control of all that happens, and how He is bringing everything to His intended conclusion without fail. All the action in Revelation starts at the throne of God, and everything flows from Him because He is almighty. So pay careful attention to the descriptions of His greatness and sovereignty. Ask yourself, what difference does that make to the message of Revelation? And what difference should being convinced of God's greatness and providence and certain victory, what difference should that make in your own life? And finally, understand everything in Revelation as the fulfillment and application of the same gospel that was proclaimed in the earlier New Testament. And it's the fulfillment of the entire Bible story, starting back in Genesis with the creation of the universe. It is all the working out of God's plan for His people. Revelation is the culmination of His victory over sin and His enemies. And it's the consummation of His kingdom and glorious rule through Jesus and His Spirit. In other words, we just talked about understanding the parts of Revelation in its big picture. Now I'm saying, understand Revelation in the big picture context of the entire New Testament and the entire Bible. Christ's final defeat of all His enemies, which is narrated in Revelation, is just the result of His already having defeated them at the cross and empty tomb. The promise that He would crush the serpent's head is reaching its conclusion. Christ's gathering of a multitude from every people group described in Revelation is just the result of Him having reconciled them to God by dying on the cross and sending His church to make disciples of every nation, empowered by His Spirit. And it's the fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him. Christ's remaking of all creation in the new heavens and the new earth, as promised in Revelation, is the result of the new life of the kingdom, which He inaugurated by rising from the dead as the leader of a new humanity, which was promised way back in the Old Testament prophets. So, as you read Revelation, pay attention to how it draws all of the issues and themes of the entire Bible to a glorious conclusion. See how the glorious gospel of a crucified and risen Christ inevitably leads to the proclamation that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Now, like I said, This is just a thumbnail sketch of how to read Revelation well, and this section has just been an introduction to the book of Revelation. In the next section, we'll look more closely at the organization content and themes of this book. But for now, let's review. The occasion of Revelation is persecution and suffering, and the purpose of Revelation is to warn, encourage, and strengthen the church by revealing a God-centered, heavenly perspective of all of history, and by revealing the conclusion of the biblical story, and by fully revealing Jesus for who he is. And we could read Revelation well by understanding the symbols, noticing the patterns, paying attention to the big picture context, watching for the warnings and encouragements, taking to heart that God is a big God in control of everything, and understanding it as the consummation of the gospel. All right, that's all we'll cover in this section, but keep these things in your mind because they will be helpful as we continue to survey Revelation in the next section. And I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for watching.